This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, jaysanalysis.com. And today I thought what we would talk about would be the synthetic overlay of our reality that is given unto us by the establishment, by Hollywood, by mass media. So I want to kind of go back to early days of Hollywood, early days of the counterculture movie and music scene in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Take a look at a lot of surprising details that I'm sure you're probably not aware of, and then move up into where we are now and see how we've been given basically a completely false overlay of how to interpret and read the world, a false paradigm. And so if we can see through this, we'll actually have a clear way to understand the world. We won't be duped by all these tricks, these tactics. So let's go back to some of the fascinating aspects of Hollywood that you're probably not aware of. Did you know that one of the most innovative and ahead of its time military studios was actually the cutting edge studio back in the 50s and 60s? It was called the Laurel Canyon. It was an Air Force studio in Laurel Canyon. And this studio was known for example, filming the atomic bomb footage. Now, this was a secret, highly classified access only by people like Walt Disney, by the top directors and producers of that time. And we don't even know all of the propaganda footage that the Laurel Canyon Studios put out. But what's interesting is that even back in this time period in the 1950s, there's an intimate connection between the military-industrial complex and the entertainment megaplexes of that time. So Disney, for example, Walt had access to this studio. Famous actors of that time, Jimmy Stewart, Marilyn Monroe, they all went to the Laurel Canyon Studios and they would film. Again, we don't even know what was filmed there. In some instances, we know they would film, as I said, the atomic bomb footage. But they filmed all kinds of propaganda footage there as well. There's movies that Jimmy Stewart did just for the Laurel Canyon Air Force Studios. Now, that was all under the guise of wartime, right? Under World War II and then in the Cold War. And the point is that there's always been this intimate connection between the deep state, military-industrial complex, the security state, the shadow government, and Hollywood and pop culture. And as we walk through some of these facts, you're going to see that it's actually a really intimate connection. It's actually like the flip side of the two, right? Alex mentioned early on, I think in the first hour, Ian Fleming, James Bond. I've covered that, you know, for many, many years. It's in both of my books. I cover the whole history of Ian Fleming and James Bond and all of his wartime activities and how he wrote into his stories real operations, real black ops, real false flags. Right? Many of the James Bond novels and films deal with false flags, which we see all the time in our world, in reality, although still people don't really know what that is. Although now it's mainstream. Well, there's no such thing as false flags, but now there are false flags because the Russians might do it, right? That's what we were told, a month or so ago. And so we're going to look here a little bit in an article that was written a few years ago dealing with 42 admitted false flags. So I'm going to pull that up here in a minute. We'll look at that. But going back to the history of Hollywood and wartime intelligence, remember that... Excuse me. Walt Disney was involved in on his own filming all kinds of propaganda videos for the deep state, for the military-industrial complex. They filmed. You can find videos of, I think it's Daffy Duck or somebody telling you to pay your taxes. Right? How important it is to Uncle Sam to pay your taxes to the IRS. And so that's because there was always this deep connection between Disney, for example, and the military-industrial complex, such that the CIA actually helped Disney get the land to set up Disney World in Florida. A lot of people don't know that either. But let's go back again even further. You can go. Did you know that Houdini was actually a spy? Yes, actually, Houdini did intelligence work, spying work, Secret Service work at the same time as he did his magic act. And so at times his magic act actually functioned as a cover for his espionage activities. We'll find this as we get into this in the next segment. Many people in Hollywood, many famous actors actually had a side gig of doing espionage work and spying. You might have heard of Julia Child, right? Julia Child, the famous TV cook, She worked for the OSS. And so we're going to learn that the intelligence agencies have an intense interest in culture and culture creation. And we're going to see that when we look at the Laurel Canyon scene in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest, Jay Dyer.
Alex Jones here with a very simple proposal for all our great InfoWars listeners and viewers. If you will simply get X3 with all three types of good iodine that boosts your immune system and help everything that goes on in your body at the cellular level, it will change your life. It will invigorate you. It will empower you. Almost everyone has iodine deficiency. Look into it for yourself. It's the opposite of fluoride. It's the good halogen. And then your purchase of X3 funds our operation. Now, a lot of our products have been sold out and never came back in because of the lockdowns and supply chain breakdowns. We were sold out of X3 for a long time. And I had it on sale for 50% off. A lot of folks were getting it. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to bring it back on sale again just until it sells out. Because even though we won't make as much money in the long run, a lot of folks need this product. And we need to get the money from the sales in now to stay on air. Get your X3 right now at 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com.
Deep history of the shadow government, the military-industrial complex, the intelligence deep state, and their longtime connection with Hollywood, with the music industry, and with even organized crime, and with pop culture, and how they create culture, because that's an important aspect for steering the culture. So the intelligence agencies aren't just interested in these foreign operations with stagecraft and whatnot, and with spycraft. They are. But they're also interested in culture creation. So, for example, in the Cold War, we know that the CIA, to combat the Soviet Empire, they actually adopted a lot of postmodern styles of art. They adopted the idea of creating degenerate art. This is well known now. It's declassified. Lots of mainstream articles in, the London Telegraph and so forth on this fact that the CIA, for example, studied and understood that postmodern and deconstructionist types of literature and artwork had the effect of deracinating and destabilizing people when they immersed themselves in these kinds of artworks. And so postmodernism was billed as a tool of freedom, right? The freedom of the West. We're free in the West. We're not stuck in the idea of objective structures and limitations. And while there's a sense in which that's true, yeah, we believe in freedom. Freedom has to have a context. It has to have a worldview to give it meaning. You can't just, it's not like freedom is just this self-evident concept that doesn't come along with another, with a worldview. And so the CIA was able to understand, and they actually brought over people from the Frankfurt School, the Marxists. The OSS was instrumental in bringing over Frankfurt School Marxists at the request of Bertrand Russell, to help learn to weaponize the arts. This is on record. This is a well-documented thing. You can even find high-level publications, I think Foreign Affairs, on how the OSS brought the Frankfurt School Marxists over to teach the CIA, the OSS, the nascent CIA at the time, how to weaponize the arts to destroy cultures. You understand that the arts are not just people being inspired to, flop around on the stage and to hump the microphone like Jim Morrison or something like that, right? Like that's something that is intentionally designed as a way to degrade culture. I'm not saying that they put Jim Morrison up there, although they could have, because actually Jim Morrison's dad was Admiral Morrison, who was behind the Gulf of Tonkin false flag attack. That's actually the truth. That's on record. He was the admiral in that very event, the Gulf of Tonkin. And that's one of the points I was going to make about, wait a minute, the Laurel Canyon music scene, which was actually the birth of the counterculture music scene, was actually a bunch of people who had these curious connections to high-level military intelligence, especially the families of the artists, right, having high-level military intelligence connections, Jim Morrison being one of those classic examples. Now, I'm not saying that Jim Morrison was like a mind-controlled operative and that he didn't. I think he was doing what he did of his own free will and volition. But the point is that he was not this counterculture figure. He was originally, you can find pictures of him a few years before the Doors got started, just this like really clean-cut, nerdy, waspy dude, right? And he was probably, I think he was studying something innocuous like economics or something. I don't know. And then suddenly he becomes this you know, free floating vagabond bohemian, a sort of hippie dude that just sort of wandered around California, like writing his poetry. Now, it's curious because, again, his dad was a very high-level military establishment person involved in Gulf of Tonkin false flag operations. And if it was only one instance, that might be one thing. But what we find is that so many families, so many famous Hollywood people, Hollywood royalty, come from really high-level military and deep state intelligence families. And I'm not trying to read too much into that. It's just a kind of an analysis. It's a pattern recognition that's there that we have to admit. For example, Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa came from a family that was, his father was famously involved in the production of chemical and biological warfare pathogens at the Edgewood Arsenal. So what this tells us is that, you know, Zappa's father was clearly involved in these high-level deep state projects, and perhaps even something relating to MKUltra, because MKUltra was very closely connected to the development of hallucinogens, really strong drugs for big pharma to basically sell the populace on. That's why everybody's on these Prozac and all these kinds of things. Is that this was at the behest of big pharma. And big pharma was intimately connected to, through Sandoz Pharmaceuticals, the emergence of LSD. And in fact, LSD was given out at the behest of the CIA in the counterculture like crazy, right? This was not something that was done accidentally. That was actually promoted. And there's many, many instances of this, of people who were known to be working with the CIA, who were given permission to hand this stuff out, most famously, right, Ken Kesey, most famously, Tim Leary. And Leary himself says, he's on record, you can find the clip on YouTube, where he says, if you want to thank anybody for the 1960s countercultural revolution, you need only thank the CIA. And he said all they had to do to convince everybody to get into these drugs was to tell them that the government was keeping you from what's your right. So he says, I sold it as your right, and thus everybody bought into it as an act of revolution. Now, as we progress through these counterculture figures, we find this, again, as a really amazing, actually, recurring phenomenon. If we look at, for example, Papa John Phillips, right, the Mamas and the Papas, he spent time in Cuba fighting for Castro, and then Stills comes from, Crosby, Stills and Nash, comes from a military family where he went and fought with the CIA Special Forces operation. So here you have these counterculture figures who are also working with both Castro in the case of Phillips and with CIA Special Forces in the case of Stills. That's just curious to me that these figures who are these counterculture figures, oh, well, they just happen to have, right, Vietnam, high-level, you know, operations training and history. We saw this with serial killers, too. Remember in the case of many of the serial killers, they were stationed at various places like in Germany and Vietnam. And we saw that Son of Sam, right, he had this Vietnam, and he was actually, by his lawyers, they argued that he was part of the MKUltra experiments. And then after his experimentation with LSD, he changed. We saw that with Dahmer, right? When I covered this, if you go over to my channel, I have many lectures where I cover the history of serial killers and many of them being involved in these types of projects and perhaps even being trained as trained killers in what's called the Phoenix Program. Now, other examples would we could look, as I said, to the case of Julia Childs. She's the first sort of TV celebrity chef, and she just happens to be from have worked in the OSS, right? And you could say, well, but these people just learned a lot of skills when they were spies, right? I think it's more than that. I think that the intelligence agencies clearly have a desire and a role in culture creation. So they didn't just want to, you know, send famous people over to spy on people. That's probably well known, right? We all know about what the famous catcher, is it Mo Berg? He was a spy for the OSS. There's the famous case. I think Jimmy Stewart did some spying espionage work for the FBI on the side. People think that Cary Grant spied for the OSS at times. I think that's speculated. I think he even tattled on Errol Flynn because Errol Flynn was thought to have been a Nazi spy. There's many, many cases of this. Olga, I think her name is Olga Chekhova, right? She was the most famous actress in Germany, and she's rumored to have been a Stalinist spy. People believe that Coco Chanel, right? Wasn't she rumored to be a spy for the Nazis as well? So this is a very well-known thing, actually, in the history of Hollywood and acting, going all the way back, I think, to the Elizabethan period. there were famous Elizabethan actors and actresses who basically were court spies. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Why would this be the case? Well, it's because these people have access to places that other people don't. They're invited to all over the world, and perhaps they might even be used in a honey trap operation. Maybe they're used to go sleep with somebody to get information on somebody. We know this in the case of the History of Time Life magazine with Claire Booth Luce and Henry Luce. Like, Claire Booth Luce was a spy, and she slept with a whole bunch of people in the upper echelons of society, and she was doing that for espionage reasons. And they even make movies about this, right? I mean, we know about this if you saw the movie Red Sparrow, which was actually a bunch of anti-Russian propaganda. But the movie Red Sparrow places Jennifer Lawrence in this role as a honey trap to go and sleep with prominent people to get information on them. Hey, Epstein, right? We've all seen this with Epstein. Is this not the same type of thing where you have sex operatives doing things for high-level blackmail purposes? So this is real-world stuff. This really goes on, and it connects to the world of Hollywood big time. So when we come back, we're going to look at some more people, some more prominent counterculture figures who just happen to have really high-level establishment connections and backing. When we come back, don't go anywhere. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jay Dyer.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
So we were touching on the intimate deep connection between the intelligence apparatus, the military-industrial complex, and the pop culture entertainment mind control complex. And this partly, by the way, explains why so many of these pop stars do seem to, you know, elicit mind control type of behavior. They act like they've been brainwashed. Not all the time. Sometimes it's, you know, just drugs or whatever. But I think in a lot of cases, these people do have a kind of role that they were raised to be, these kind of controlled consumer products that are put out there to toxify the culture. For example, we've seen a lot of the pop stars that sort of go through this ritual process of being the good girl when they're young, and then they turn into these, this is sort of a Madonna whore complex, right, where they become these Babylon bitches, basically, by the time they grow up. There seems to be patterns like this. There seems to be this process that the establishment engages in when they create these pop culture figures. And a lot of these are creations. Now, I'm not saying that the people don't have talent, but I think in many cases they may not have talent, but they may be put into these positions because of the money, the power, the mind control operations behind them. And again, this has been studied to, you know, the nth degree in terms of social engineering, in terms of scientism and the mad scientists and the social engineers that run our culture, right? They know how to do this stuff from a scientific perspective. As we were progressing through that counterculture period, we were looking at people like Zappa. We were looking at Jim Morrison and The Doors and Crosby, Stills and Nash, the Mamas and the Papas. And there's other examples, too. There's a curious figure that many people may not be aware of who was kind of the pre-Manson Manson. His name is Vito Paulicas. And the reason that Vito is interesting is that he kind of becomes a model for a lot of the pop stars that develop their own cultus. And if you think about Charles Manson, he kind of was a cult leader who also developed a pop following, right? And that's precisely because, as recent authors have kind of shown and demonstrated, that which a lot of people have known for a long time, myself included, that Manson was really a MKUltra CIA project as well. I think he kind of went nuts, obviously, from all of this. But prior to Manson, there was this idea of the bohemian sort of wandering figure, Vito Paulicas, who was out there, and he was involved in pedo operations and this kind of stuff as well. And he, again, he's sort of the model for Manson, and this becomes kind of a thing that was repeated, right? You get more of these figures like Manson, like these cult leaders, that spring from the 60s countercultural revolution, and it spills over into the serial killer realm. I know that sounds kind of wild and out there, but if you think about the Phoenix Program, which I'm reading a gigantic book on that, I'll be covering that soon, from Douglas Valentine, called The Phoenix Program, who was in Vietnam and wrote that book. You can see how, no, actually there would be a motivation to cultivate, create, and control and steer serial killers. And many of the serial killers have the same model of a Manson, right? They have that, let me create a cult, let me create a following. I'm going to do these in a ritualistic way. Yeah, there's Vito acting nuts, right? And Vito's interesting because he gathered a following, and he would just sort of wander around, and he was, many people think, paid to attend the Doors concerts, right, to actually give them the appearance of an audience. I'm not saying the Doors weren't good musicians, but early on, the Doors were not very good, and they couldn't really get an audience. And so there was a lot of establishment connections behind the venues that were first premiering the Doors. Another example of this is the record companies at the time. There were record companies that jumped. I think it was Columbia was the first to really jump on the 60s counterculture bands. And just like the drug and mushroom phenomenon and LSD phenomenon of the late 50s, early 60s, Time magazine was really the first to give on its cover promotion of the drug hallucinogen counterculture. They would premiere and give promotion for that to basically, we fascinate people with this. Columbia Records starts to promote. I forget the name. There was a Turkish guy who was the owner of it at the time, and he basically signed all of these countercultural bands at the time and gave them basically a universal hearing, right? Nobody would have heard of these bands until they were signed, given Time Magazine attention. The counterculture was given Time Magazine attention. And why would that be, again, if there was not an intentional motivation on the part of the CIA, on the part of these social engineers to push the counterculture? And again, even mainline books, there's a book by a guy named Jay Stevens, right? He kind of touches on this called Storming Heaven, where he wrote a mainline history of the counterculture. And he kind of realized, they're kind of like promoting this on purpose. And he said, whoa. That was just to make money. The record company just wanted to make money. It wasn't just about making money. It was more than that. It was culture creation. And the writers later on, historians like Frances Donner Saunders, who wrote her big famous book, CIA and the Cold War, Culture Creation, right, about culture creation in the Cold War. I mean, she reflected on this and went and documented how the CIA was actually funding all of these countercultural projects. Jackson Pollock. Right, Andy Warhol, all of these people were getting CIA money or money from CIA cutouts. And this was all, it's under the Cold War to promote freedom, right? And again, I want to be nuanced here because I'm not saying that all of the bands are consciously participating in some sort of mind control project or they're all secretly working for the CIA. A lot of the people don't even know this, right? They're being co-opted into this and given promotion, being bought off, being given that next level, A-level status by people smarter than them and by their handlers, right? A lot of the actual musicians and artists, I mean, they're just kind of, handled by other people, their managers or whatever, and given drugs. So they're just drugged out and controlled by their handlers. They're not intentionally signing on to all these projects, right? They're just more or less mind controlled. And if we go back again to the 60s, there's other people that clearly have pretty astounding high-level connections. Bruce Dern, for example, the famous actor, in Hollywood royalty family. His godparents included Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt. His grandfather was George Dern, who was the Secretary of War. So here you have this seemingly counterculture figure who comes from the most establishment counterculture family. I think one of his family members, too, was a high-level Skull and Bones person. It may have been George Dern, the Secretary of War. You have the... Example, it was Bruce Dern's uncle. That's who it is. Archibald MacLeish, who was Skull and Bones. That's who I was thinking of. Again, the list goes on and on and on, right? Yeah, Dennis Hopper, for example. Dennis Hopper's dad, also one of these key counterculture figures. His father was in the OSS, and I don't know if it's certain, but there's rumors, there's circumstantial evidence that Dennis Hopper was very interested in the occult, very interested in Crowleyanism, and might have even been involved in some of the Crowleyan OTO groups. We know that David Carradine's father, for example, was actually a member of Crowley's OTO, which is a more or less a satanic cult. We know that the Sinatras, Frank Sinatra, not only was he intimately connected to organized crime, but the Sinatras had a deep connection to both the FBI as an informant and to organized crime. If you think about... Alfred Wolfstetter, who's the famous Rand Corporation luminary, for some reason he would have these meetings in the Laurel Canyon scene. Now, why would one of the top people from the Rand Corporation, this huge technocratic thing, be having these regular meetings during the counterculture in Laurel Canyon with various people from that scene? Well, my suspicion is that, no, this is actually a promoted countercultural revolution, right? So when we come back, we'll look at some more examples of connections between the deep state and pop culture. This is the Alex Jones Show. I want to remind you, too, to go to the InfoWars store and support the InfoWar by getting those wonderful products. I just got the toothpaste.
It's hard to believe that we're already into March 2022. And in the month of February, we had a very popular sale that was going of our flagship product, X3. It has all three types of the amazing iodine your body needs for every electrochemical cellular activity in your body, your immune immune system, your stamina, your libido, so much. And the majority of the population in the world is iodine deficient. This is the very best iodine out there. So, we had on sale 50% off, but we sold more than half of what we have. Or is it going to come in for a long time? So I took it back to full price. And I was just thinking, you know what? We need the funds in now to stay on air. Plus, this is a great product everybody needs. So to incentivize folks out there that have been on the fence to get X3 and experience it yourself and support the broadcast, I'm going to keep it at 50% off until it sells out. Get X3 right now exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com for 50% off.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
I was talking about before we left for that break that I just got my full calcium toothpaste in, and I did, and I love it. And so my teeth are beautiful now. Previously they were not, now they are beautiful. And I was talking about Dennis Hopper. I was talking about all those Laurel Canyon scene figures, and I forgot to mention Dennis Hopper, interestingly, was had a role in a lot of those Kenneth Anger films. If you don't know who Kenneth Anger is, he was one of these Crowleyan avant-garde figures who also had a key role in the counterculture, making those weird documentary or those weird films like Lucifer Rising with members of the Rolling Stones, right, playing in these dark sort of occultic satanic films. And as we said, there's always been this kind of weird Crowleyan ethos to a lot of these Hollywood royalty people. Not all of them, but many of them. A lot of the Hollywood royalty families seem to have a very fascinating history with being connected to or interested in cronyism. And then we've seen this with the pop stars as well, right? We've seen Jay-Z, Beyonce, these different figures wearing Crowley T-shirts, giving nods to Aleister Crowley. And so, yeah, there is that satanic element for sure. But I also want to highlight that Crowley, if you remember, he was an asset for British intelligence. He did asset work for the people above Ian Fleming. And that's actually detailed in multiple mainline history books. Ian Fleming was involved in, he didn't meet Crowley, but he was involved in planning some of those operations that used Crowley to dupe the Nazis and so forth. Crowley did asset work at the time of World War One as well. So this is a key point to remember, that the intelligence apparatus and the Hollywood pop scene and pop culture is intimately tied into satanic cults, mind control cults, and these always overlap. That's the fascinating element here. And why would we see this overlap? Well, I think it has to do, again, yes, you can look deeper into the spiritual components and how there's a higher level satanic element. Yeah, and I've covered that many, many times. But I'm looking at it right now from the angle of social engineering, right? Cults and mind control. Why would the CIA, why would social engineers be interested in studying mind control? Well, to control the population, obviously. So a lot of these cults, which we've seen coming out of that counterculture, coming out of the 60s and 70s, Jim Jones, Scientology, they have intimate CIA and deep state connections precisely because they are experiments in many cases. They are being studied. There was research going into how to mind control people. They're connected to MKUltra operations, you see. Now, let's take another example of a bizarre connection between the counterculture that comes out of Laurel Canyon and serial killers. There's the case of Leonard Lake and Charles Ng, the famous serial killer duo. I think he was at one time originally he's called the Unicorn Killer because the only picture they had of him was of him with a unicorn. But he was connected to and really close to a group of people who started the Renaissance Fair movement. And that was started by a guy named Ron Patterson from the Laurel Canyon scene, who was a convicted pedophile. And he's from the Laurel Canyon. So a lot, this is like this hotbed, right, of the counterculture is Laurel Canyon. It's not actually Haight-Ashbury. Haight-Ashbury had his connection with the Grateful Dead, who did have CIA connections, as we'll see here in a minute. The way that we make that connection is through this figure called Stanley Owsley. Now, Owsley was a formerly an Air Force intelligence operative who dealt with a lot of radio research, RF research at that time. But he was given permission to give out 4 million LSD tabs during the 60s. So at this time, Owsley teamed up with the Grateful Dead to distribute these 4 million tabs. And this is what helped really kick off that CIA. And again, that was in concert with Leary as well, right? So he's basically the one sort of promoting and creating all these. He's known as the guy who basically gave everybody the LSD. And then Leary goes out and sort of promotes it on a nationwide TV circuit and whatnot, giving it out at the Altamont Music Festival and these different places where you have people tripping and losing their mind, going crazy. Everybody knows about the Rolling Stones, Altamont Festival, and the Hell's Angels and people getting killed and whatnot. And there's some really weird stuff with that as well, right? Was that also some sort of a mind control experiment operation to have a ritual where people get killed at a mass concert as a mass ritual? Again, think about Astro World that we just covered a few months ago. There's a long history of this, people getting trampled and killed at concerts. Now, the reason we want to look at Stanley Owsley was that he was also known for unleashing the drug called STP, which was a biowarfare agent created where? The Edgewood Arsenal. So Edgewood Arsenal seems to figure, continually in this Laurel Canyon scene stuff, especially as we said with Frank Zappa's dad. And so this bizarre invention by Dow Chemicals gets unleashed, and then you have a bunch of chaos and havoc with that drug. Apparently, also, he had some connection, and he worked with the JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which was where none other than Jack Parsons worked. And Jack Parsons was famously the inventor of the Jet Propulsion Engine and a famous Crowleyan. He was a member of Crowley's OTO cult, or he was a member of the OTO, and then Crowley went on to create his own Thelema cult. But for a while, they were both in the same cult, and they were there together with L. Ron Hubbard. and there's the dispute over the Marjorie Cameron, right, between who would end up dating the Scarlet Woman, Marjorie Cameron, either L. Ron Hubbard or Jack Parsons. So, in other words, the whole sort of 1950s and 60s rockets, counterculture, all of that has this Crowleyan ethos behind it. Rock and roll has this Crowleyan ethos behind it, which is, again, something that you don't usually hear about in the mainstream. So we were talking about other figures that come up. Mark David Chapman, right, the assassin in regard to John Lennon. A lot of people don't know that Mark David Chapman went and gave a gift of bullets to Kenneth Anger. And I think this is significant because what does it suggest in terms of the counterculture, in terms of serial killers and Satanism coming out of the 1960s? Why would someone who is presumably, I think, involved in some kind of mind control assassin type of situation, Mark David Chapman, he goes and gifts Kenneth Anger, this avant-garde satanic filmmaker, bullets, as if to say, I did this as a ritual, you know, and I'm paying homage to you. I'm not saying Kenneth Anger necessarily told Mark David Chapman to go kill John Lennon. I'm just saying that there's something I think significant there, and this is a famous fact in history. A lot of the figures who, for example, would start a pro-Americanist evangelical church known as the Calvary Chapel, they also had curious Laurel Canyon CIA connections, and this would be people from the band Buffalo Springfield. I forget that guy's name, but one of the founding members of the band Buffalo Springfield would go on to found Calvary Chapel. This would also be connected to the Jesus People movement of the 60s, which I'm not doubting that there weren't sincere people in the Jesus People movement. But I think, again, in a lot of these types of things, these sort of quasi cult like movements, you will find the intelligence apparatus there kind of in the background controlling things. Famously, John Barrymore, I think he's the grandfather of Drew Barrymore. He was known to be a pretty nasty figure involved in various forms of perversion. He had some bizarre connections, and he actually played Svengali, right? This the weird mind control guy. The Spahn Ranch, where Manson was hanging out, used to be a movie studio. And it's curious to me that reportedly, although nobody can prove this, but there's long been rumors in Hollywood that what was actually being filmed at the Spahn Ranch was snuff films. Although, again, nobody knows for sure that's the case. But there's also claims that very high level people, perhaps even Marilyn Monroe, were actually involved in, pretty intense pornographic material that was being filmed at these different locations, and that might actually also figure into the Manson killings. Think about George Hodel, if you're familiar with this, BFF with John Huston, the famous director, and how they were for a long time suspected, and maybe many people today think that they were the key suspects in the Black Dahlia ritual murder. And those are absolutely ritual murders, especially if you look at the figure Man Ray, the famous surrealist artist. Much of his surrealist art literally looks just like the way Elizabeth Short's body was ritually murdered. So there's always been, again, this deep connection between the satanic and Hollywood, between mind control, between intelligence agencies. And again, Time Magazine, what does Time Magazine do at this time? Puts all of this on the front cover, promoting mushrooms. Time Magazine telling you, go check out these mushrooms. It's really cool. It's fun. When we come back, we'll look at the final segment of some more connections.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay, like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please, call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. ExtendoVite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in ExtendoVite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on ExtendoVite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get ExtendoVite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
ExtendoVite. G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Go to the InfoWars store again and support the InfoWars by getting all those excellent products that Alex has. I really am liking my Coral Calcium. Now, the toothpaste, by the way. We were talking about occult Hollywood. We were talking about the Black Dahlia case. And we were talking about how so many of these pop stars, some of these elites in these circles seem to drift into really weird cults. They drift into these mind control cults. They drift into satanic cults. Even the more poppy versions of the satanic stuff, like Anton LaVey, right? We've seen many, many people. Sammy Davis Jr., right, famously was a member of the Church of Satan. We've seen, many prominent people in the music scene being really into Aleister Crowley. We see the Led Zeppelin, right? Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, right? We see them having a fascination with Crowleyanism, even buying Crowley's mansion in or estate on the Lake Nessie or whatever it is. I don't know. I forget the name of the Boleskine is the estate, but they're out there trying to find Nessie, I guess. But it doesn't stop there. I mean, we've seen the occult, the satanic, the Kabbalism promoted by countless pop stars. And I don't think this is by example. You think of David Bowie, right? Bowie's involved in the Golden Dawn for a period as a fascination with that. We think of Ozzy Osbourne and he's into Crowley, right? And yes, I understand that a lot of these people are not that sophisticated. They may not even take it that seriously, but there's something that's a pattern here where I think it's being promoted. You know, we have even more recently people like Ariana Grande, right, talking about, oh, I'm into the esoteric, I'm into Kabbalah, Madonna being into this stuff, right? The pop stars, they go and they do their rituals up there at the VMAs, at the Supertime Halftime Show, right? The Super Bowl Halftime Show, where they're doing these mass rituals. And again, the point is really just to stress that this is not by accident. I think beyond just the satanic side of it, that's that higher level, you know, looking at it. There's also the element of social engineering where, from the vantage point of the social engineers, they see the promotion of these things as a way to break down the society and the culture. So it actually fits in with the cultural warfare in terms of depopulation, right? So it's just another way to atomize and destroy society. For example, porn has been beamed into various countries as a form of warfare, just like economics is a form of warfare, right? We talked in the past about soft power. This is the way to exert influence in other countries through non-military means, through money, aid money, through NGOs, through culture, Hollywood. I was mentioning other examples of connections in the music industry to the CIA. Remember Miles Copeland, right? He's the relative of who? Stuart Copeland, the Police. It just so happens that Stuart Copeland is you know, the relative of Miles Copeland, the famous CIA operative who wrote all of these books about depopulation and how the CIA was duping all these countries. And I've done lectures on all these books. So you can go watch all my lectures with Miles Copeland going into great detail. He talks about how they go into, in the book Game of Nations, it's about Syria. He says, we went into Syria and we totally changed the country, industrialized and so forth. You know, well, isn't that good? Well, they're being nice. They're industrializing. No, he says at the end of the book that the purpose of the industrialization and modernizing of Syria was so that in the long term they could depopulate it. He says, if you want to understand the CIA operations in the Middle East, guess who he says to go read at the back of the book? Bertrand Russell. Go read Bertrand Russell if you want to understand the long term CIA operations. And you know what else he says in the book? He says one of the key ways that we had an impact in Hollywoodizing Syrian culture, James Bond. Yes, he says we imported James Bond movies, and then they went, oh, I want to be like James Bond. I want to be like the Hollywood guy. It's cultural warfare. It's the manipulation of symbols and archetypes to change existing cultures, to toxify them. Why? So that you don't have offspring. It's very simple. That's it. That's the main purpose. And that's what Miles Copeland says at the end of his book. And so all these cults have the effect of not just being, you know, studied for mind control, you know, operations or whatever, but they have the effect of creating templates and ways for the establishment to use that information that they've studied with Jim Jones, with Scientology, with Manson or whoever, to further perfect the technique of social control. That's it. So the principle behind why anyone would worship a cult leader is the exact same principle behind why anyone would follow a pop star. It's the exact same modus operandi. And it's studied on purpose to control society. So all of these things are really just means and methods of control, controlling the masses. And it's just part of that process, I think, to gaslight by, through ritual performances, showing you this in plain shot, in plain sight, hidden in plain sight. Everyone's eyes are wide shut. That's why they all go up and do rituals. Pink, Britney, Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga. They all do it. Why do they all do the same thing? How come nobody's doing something different? Why isn't somebody doing wholesome songs? Why isn't somebody doing, their own artistic idea? They all have to do these quasi-Masonic satanic type of rituals. Why? Because there's a process, there's a plan, and they all are part of the same structure. And that same structure is the same structure that wants to impose the austerity, the depopulation, the destruction of the society. Remember when we were covering the Astro World stuff, remember there was we mentioned the Madonna song. Yeah, there you go. The suicide cult. We're all Jim Jones now. We're all in his Kool-Aid cult, right? And the Kool-Aid man is not going to bust through the wall and save anybody. The Kool-Aid man's busting through the wall, and it's actually Jim Jones. And, like, he's giving everybody, you know, 40s full of Purple Source Rex, and we're all dying. Yeah, there's the woman riding the beast, right? They love that apocalyptic imagery. Now, why was I saying all of that to get to what I wanted to go to something that seems a little bit different, but actually is connected? False flags. I want to read through a list of some of the admitted false flags, because false flags are stagecraft applied to the warfare domain to dupe everybody into thinking, oh, they're the bad guys, right? To get in on a war. Remember, Jim Morrison's dad, Admiral Morrison, was who was manning the ship when they had the false flag Gulf of Tonkin incident. That's a false flag on record. And there's many, many of these. There's a great article. This is from, I think, Washington's blog. Governments around the world admit to staging false flags. The first one here, it says, Japanese troops set off a small explosion on a train in 1951 and falsely blamed it on China in order to justify the invasion of Manchuria. So that was, again, one of the famous false flag. A major in the Nazi SS admitted at Nuremberg trials that under oath they engaged in multiple instances of false flags in regard to justifying the invasion of Poland. So it's not something that one person does or one government does. It's done by many, many governments. I don't know if I'll be able to get through all of these in the last of the segment, but Franz Halder under Nuremberg trials testified that leader Hermann Göring admitted to setting fire to the German parliament in 1933. I barely read that. To blame it on the communists, and everybody knows about the Reichstag. Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev admitted to the Soviet Union's Red Army shelled a Russian village in Manila in 1959 and blamed it on Finland. Russian parliament, Russian President Putin, this one mentions the Soviet leader Gorbachev admitted that Stalin ordered his secret police to execute 22,000 Polish army officers and falsely blamed it on Nazis. The British government admits that between 1946 and 1948, it bombed five ships carrying Jews attempting to flee during World War II to find safety at Palestine, and they blamed it on defenders of Arab Palestine. So that was actually the British Empire doing that. Israel admits that in 1954, Israeli terrorists operating in Egypt planted bombs in order to blame it on Egyptians. The CIA admits in 1950 that they posed as communists and staged bombings under democratically elected prime minister in Iran. Oh, yeah, everybody knows about that Mossadegh thing. Turkish prime minister admitted that the Turkish government carried out false flags in 1955. In terms of their battle with Greece, British prime minister admitted that there was false flags in 1957. The British, I'm just going through these really quick here to get this. So anyway, there's many, many of the dozens and dozens. And this is not a comprehensive list. There's many more. I don't even think this list doesn't even mention 9/11, right? But the point is that when you go through this list, dozens of them, you'll notice that this is really stagecraft applied to warfare. And I'm not saying that there's not real bombings so that people don't get killed. In many cases, they do. Sometimes it's totally fake, but in some cases, it's a staged bombing in the sense of it's a bombing that was really done and blamed on an enemy. And if this is just mainstream history, what I learned in my college class is, why are we surprised that we're often duped by a false synthetic overlay, which we were programmed for through Hollywood?
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.